I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guests today are Susan Brewer and Nakia Averhart. Susan is the MentorMe coordinator with Cincinnati Works, and Nakia, she is the director of recruiting. Susan, I met you about a year ago. MentorMe was really your brainchild, and since then it's been absorbed really by the Cincinnati Works, which is an amazing organization. Let's talk about MentorMe, because I just find the whole concept inspiring and very, very important.
Well, about a year and a half ago, maybe even longer, maybe 3 years ago, I was going through a personal journey. I'd left my job in sales and marketing and somehow found my way into the foster care world. And through that journey, I learned about kids who age out of foster care, and the statistics of their future are just horrible. And I also met up with a woman who had been doing some development work in a group home. So she and I joined forces, and we came up with this idea of MentorMe to provide mentors to these young adults once they age out of foster care.
And now MentorMe is part of the Cincinnati Works program. And okay, why was it just a natural fit for Cincinnati Works?
Well, the main goal of Cincinnati Works is to help those individuals who are currently living in poverty to reach economic self-sufficiency, and that looks like different people. In the case of Next Step, we provide what we call a holistic approach to help them to do that, meaning that we give them the life skills that they need in terms of employment. We give them that foundation, but it's important that along the way you have support. Many of us have support when we're in the process of in growing in our career paths and so on. These young adults don't always have that. And to have that support, that allows them to have the same opportunities that some of us as professionals have had.
What you're doing is you're actually providing mentors to young adults. And a lot of these young adults have never had role models in their lives or people in their lives to hold them accountable.
Well, that's true. And what we say is, if our mentors accomplish nothing else the whole year, but if they are a consistent, positive role model in their life, that's huge, because so many of them don't have that. And oftentimes, I think people feel that when young kids or adults are in foster care, they're not associated with their families anymore. And that's not true. Typically, what happens is when they age out, they're thrown back into the world. And guess where they go back? They go back to the same place, the same people, which caused their problem to begin with.
Well, and you say age out. We're talking about 18-year-olds, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Every county is different, but they can age out anywhere from 18 to 21.
I don't know how they can survive without a role model.
It's very tough. And if you don't have one, or you haven't been around it, sometimes you don't even know you need one.
So, and oftentimes it takes them a long time to listen and to trust. For an average foster care child, they have been in and out of 10 to 12 homes, many of them in group homes, and they've just been thrown in and out of the system. And to be out of the system all of a sudden, to be on their own, they really have a hard time trusting.
And Susan, who are the role models? What type of individual are you looking for to be mentors?
Honestly, we look for people that really hear the call to serve, people that really want to help. And we look for people who are successful, who can be a positive role model, people who have the time, the patience, and the willingness to learn, because they have to go through a training program to understand how best to be a model.
If people listening today would like to learn more information about the MentorMe program, Cincinnati Works, how can they find that information?
They can go to www.cincinnatiworks.org. They can call us at 513-744-WORK, spelled out W-O-R-K.
I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guests today are Nakia Averhart and Susan Brewer. Nakia is the director of recruiting for Cincinnati Works, and Susan is the MentorMe coordinator, which is a part of Cincinnati Works. And Susan, you started MentorMe about a year, year and a half ago. Now it's a division, really, of Cincinnati Works. How has it been, the partnership with Cincinnati Works?
I want to say that I started MentorMe with a friend of mine, Jody Knupp, and she had a background in foster care arena. So she and I together started, and we are so blessed to be a part of Cincinnati Works. I was networking in the community to find someone that perhaps we could work with or partner with. And I met Dave Phillips, and I learned about his mission and how instead of going to a fluffy retirement, he started this amazing organization to help people who are living in poverty, who are willing and capable to change their economic status through employment. And we are so blessed to be a part of his team and all the wonderful people that work at Cincinnati Works.
The lives of people that have gone through the Cincinnati Works mm-hmm. program, but it goes beyond that. It's really mm-hmm. great for economic development in terms of the cost savings to Absolutely. People that live in our region because of Cincinnati Works.
Absolutely. Yeah, the goal is to help people to get to work and stay at work and ultimately contribute back to society. And over the course of time, Cincinnati Works has saved over $9 million of, you know, income of taxpayers' money, really, that's been back into the hands of people who also want to contribute.
We take so many things for granted because we have that support system around us. But when you don't have that support system, it's not intuitive. And what you're doing, Susan and Nikea, mm-hmm. is just wonderful because you're providing role models, you're providing mentors to people who may have never had that type of exposure in their life.
A wonderful example, we have a mentor-mentee team. And the mentor, years ago when she was a young adult, she had a child at a very young age. And her mentee also experienced having a child at a very young age. And it was kind of like a God teaming this mentor and mentee together. And the mentee calls her and she listens to every word that her mentor tells her because she can relate and she trusts her mentor because she knows that her mentor has walked in her path. And now the mentee, she's not only in school at Cincinnati State, she has a job at another wonderful organization at town called Education at Work, which helps her, not only pays her on an hourly wage, but also she gets tuition reimbursement in addition to that. And she works with her mentor once a week, and in addition to being a young mother. So just to see the two of them together is remarkable.
And I think a big part of the philosophy of Dave and Leanne's, you know, their mindset was to teach a man a fish. Mm-hmm. And, they'll be able to feed themselves for the rest of their lives. And a lot of what we see in poverty, there's different types of poverty, you know, but a lot of what we see is generational. And of course, there's situational poverty, but in generational poverty, you really have to take the time and want to pour into someone and change their mindset so that they change their children's future.
But if you're looking for mentors, role models, what time commitment would someone be required to put
in? We ask that mentors obligate themselves to spend an hour a week with their mentees for 1 year. And we feel that that's a reasonable amount of time. Now, typically, and what's going to happen, I know, is that many of these mentors will continue their relationship, not only for a second year, but even a lifetime.
And if people wanted to get more information on how they can help or learn more, what's the website?
It's www.cincinnatiworks.org. And if they want to call us, they can call us at 513-744-WORK.
Thank you for listening to BusinessWise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Tom, what a difference a year makes. Last year this time, we were all scratching our heads wondering what the tax law, if any, that was to be passed, how that would impact our clients and taxpayers. And certainly it made planning a little challenging.
It did, especially since the law that was actually passed was passed this year, January 1st, 2013 to be exact, that affected a lot of things that took place in 2012. And I think it's nice this year that at least we have a pretty clear vision that nothing will happen between now and the end of the year legislatively, or it's highly unlikely that anything will happen. And most of the provisions were extended for 2 years or longer, so we really know what the landscape is for the rest of this year.
Yeah, I get a kick out of some of the terminology, though, when they talk about these permanent tax law changes, and I always say, yeah, it's permanent until the next Congress changes their mind, right? But for this year, like you said, it is still nice knowing as we head into December 31st what the tax laws that are affecting taxpayers are, so we can help them plan and save taxes, because you know what? Tax rates are going up again in the future.
The nominal rate may go down, but taxes themselves will probably go up. You know, one of the big things this year that was changed on January 1st is the ability to have bonus depreciation. which is a 50% expense of most qualifying personal property and equipment and a lot of other things. That expires at the end of this year, so this is probably the last year you'll be able to take the bonus depreciation. We also have the very large Section 179 deduction, which applies not just to new property, but also used property. And again, that is slated to go from $500,000 this year to $25,000 next year. Now, a lot of people think that 25 will be raised, but it's highly unlikely that it'll be as high as 500,000.
It seems to me, if you know that you're going to be in need of furniture, fixtures, equipment, certain leasehold improvements, you really may want to go ahead and get those items into service this year, because we do know for sure this year that those tax breaks exist. We don't know what it's going to look like next year.
Another thing that's expiring or scheduled to expire, subject to change in the future, are research credits. And there's a lot of companies that we've found that qualify for these research and development credits. You don't really have to have laboratory type research to qualify for this credit. And it can be a big benefit to companies, especially a lot of companies in the manufacturing space.
Or software development as well, or companies who are improving processes. It really comes down to whether or not you're testing certain processes in terms of trying something new and see if it works. And if that doesn't work, then revising that process, trying something different. Those types of expenses, even if you subcontract some of those processes out or some of the work out, can qualify. And I'm telling you, as you mentioned, we've seen big credits for those kinds of activities. You want to take a look at that to see if you can qualify.
You know, there's another provision in the tax law that's scheduled to expire at the end of this year, and that's the ability to make an IRA contribution or to make a charitable contribution from your IRA, to make it directly from your IRA. And what that does, it enables you to avoid taking it into income. And a lot of people, particularly older people who are required to make minimum distributions, like to take advantage of that technique if they have excess funds.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Tom, the holidays are right around the corner, and you know me, I don't have the holiday music quite playing yet in my car, but I will soon because I love the holidays. One of the things, though, that come along with the holidays for many people, unfortunately, is additional credit card debt.
Well, that's because they probably haven't planned for their holiday spending. They may not even plan for it until January when they get their bills.
So in other words, people just buy on
impulse.
Impulse, exactly. As opposed to really taking the time, making a list, sticking to the list, and that really causes them trouble when they get their credit card bills in January.
Most people have to think of that word that nobody likes to use, and let me go ahead and say it, budget. But if you have a budget for the amount you're going to spend, and that's reasonable, you're more likely not to end up with substantial bills that you can't pay in January.
Another point, I think, is people buy, as you mentioned earlier, things on impulse and forget in some cases that they've already made the purchase for one of the individuals. So having that shopping list is certainly a tool. So the key is just plan for your shopping. Don't get yourself in debt. You know, the holidays really aren't about how much of an expense that you can acquire in terms of a gift item for a person. Unfortunately, this is the time of the year that people do find themselves in financial trouble because of the holidays. And just take the time, make a list, check it twice. Don't go over your budget. Keep credit cards to a minimum, and the holidays will be a lot happier.
And speaking of keeping credit cards to a minimum, that includes not just the amount of debt on your credit card, but really the amount of credit cards that you have, because it can affect your credit score. When you go to these department stores or retail chains and they give you an incentive to take out a new credit card, that may save you money instantly on your purchase, but it may cost you more in the long run because every additional credit application you get dings you on your credit score.
Clearly, that is not a good idea to open up those in-store credit cards because it really does hurt your credit score.
And if you do buy things on credit, which we don't advise, but if you do, try to make sure that you're charging it on a card that has a low rate of interest. Make sure you understand which cards charge which rates of interest and use them properly.
If you do find that you've gotten yourself into a jam with credit cards and a lot of credit card debt, you may want to do something as simple as calling the credit card company and seeing if they would be willing to reduce your interest rate. Sometimes if you just call and ask very politely, they will be able to reduce your credit card rate. For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Rebecca Volpe. She directs the Small Business Development Center at Northern Kentucky University. And let's talk about what NKU Small Business Development Center does and what your role is.
Small Business Development Center is a network of, I guess you could say, the technical assistance branch of the SBA, but we're locally, all regionally located. We have three facets that we address: in-depth technical one-on-one consulting. We also do very specific technical assistance for business issues, business management issues, as well as training for relevant business topics to businesses and entrepreneurs.
So what type of businesses would typically come to you and be able to benefit from your services?
Well, probably those who are looking for free services, because our services are all free with the exception of some of the trainings may have minimal cost to them. But we work with all kinds of businesses. We have startups, we have existing businesses, we have high-tech, high-growth businesses, we have mom and pop, we have professional services. Really every industry across the spectrum is represented when you look at our client list.
So when would a company come to you for help? What type of services specifically? I mean, you mentioned a whole array of different types of businesses, but let's just say you have a business that's been around for 10 or 15 years. What would you do to help them?
It could be that they're looking at expanding into a new product, a new market. We can help them do that market research. We can help them maybe look at their existing books and see ways that they could invest in that new venture without having to take on new debt. Definitely help with getting them the capital that they would require if a loan was needed, being able to package that, understanding. I mean, hopefully they've been in business 10 years, they have a great relationship with their banker. But if we could be a support, you know, to their banker and help them, you know, get their package together, we certainly are willing to do that as well.
Do they have to be a certain size or under a certain size?
Obviously, since our services are free, we're looking to help people who really can't afford the services yet. We are very keen on making sure those who can't afford services are put out into the universe and work with our network of professionals who are very giving to us of their time. Typically, people who are starting out small, we usually see, you know, employee sizes 50 or less employees. Sometimes we get 100 or more, but it's just or 100 or less, but it just depends on the situation.
Are you administering loan programs through the Small Business Development Center?
No, we don't administer loans. And, you know, we don't promote only SBA loans. We do traditional, non-traditional, SBA, just whatever makes sense. Obviously, you know, the SBA guarantee is very attractive to banks. When you're dealing with someone who maybe might not have a ton of collateral, small credit issues versus, you know, being able to get an SBA loan and a traditional loan. So just, you know, I think we really have the expertise to kind of understand how to match make.
Do you help these businesses with their like accounting and financial needs so that if they get the loan, they'll be able to properly measure and...
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of referrals from other professionals asking us to really dig into the books, help people understand their cash flow, how to manage their cash, how to understand their books. Specifically, the big software seems to be QuickBooks, but we'll work with any system. Help them understand their software system, QuickBooks, you know, how to get their schedule together, et cetera, things like that.
So if someone listening today, Rebecca, would like to learn more about the Small Business Development Center at Northern Kentucky University, what is your contact information?
Phone number is 859-448-8801.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Rebecca Volpe. Rebecca directs the Small Business Development Center at Northern Kentucky University. And Rebecca, I know you do a variety of things there, from individual counseling with small businesses, but you also put on a lot of training events that are useful to small businesses. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the events that you put on.
Certainly. And, you know, we love to partner with our community stakeholders as well in producing these training opportunities. Specifically, on November 7th, we're going to have a program called Cash Reigns Supreme. It's a 4-hour morning seminar. We're really going to talk about the importance of cash in a business, operating cash, matching sources and uses and terms.
A lot of small businesses, I think, their problem isn't that they don't make money, they don't make profit. It's just they run out of cash.
Yeah, and it's also being strategic, you know, using your short-term cash for short-term assets and long-term for long-term, and just understanding how to match that up and how to use cash the most wisely in whatever you're doing.
I think one of the most important financial statements pieces of information or tools a company can have is their cash flow forecast. And that often is the one that most people, they just call the bank or look online to see how much money they have in the bank. That's how they measure their cash. They don't have a cash flow forecast.
Exactly. And then also understanding, you know, what are their permanent working capital needs and, you know, working a formula to show them, looking at their inventory, their orders, you know, what are things what type of things are going on in their business so they can forecast that cash.
Well, and that's very important too if they're looking for a loan, right? Because that's what the bankers are going to want to see. They're going to loan you the money, but how are you going to pay it back?
Absolutely. In fact, liquidity is a big issue these days. And as, you know, banks get rules and regulations, you know, pushed down to them. So liquidity is a big issue these days. Our startups that we're trying to get funded, you know, 6 to 12 months cash expense, operating reserves in the bank, you know, so which sometimes you scratch your head and you wonder if they have that cash, they might not need a loan. But it's
well, that's the same old thing, right? I mean, a bank never wants to give you the money when you really need the cash. So very strategically, you have to position yourself to be in a place to get a loan so that when you do need the money, it's there.
Exactly. You know, people need to understand that taking care of your personal credit, understanding that banks, even any lender, any investor is going to expect to see skin in the game on the part of the business owner.
Well, what other events and training programs do you have besides cash?
Again, you know, referencing all the industries that we serve, we have a small town merchant program the last week of October. Specifically, we're excited to host a gentleman by the name of Mark Wilson. He works for the State of Virginia Small Business Development Network. And Mark has a lot of interesting expertise and experience in retail, restaurant, even online retail, Circuit City, Britches, which is in Georgetown. He is going to come in and he's going to do a program called From Bah Humbug to Bada Bing, how you can really jack up your Christmas sales and basically how small town Main Street America can position themselves to compete, you know, with big box retail.
Another class that you have from time to time, and you recently did host it, is for women who want to become certified as a women business.
Absolutely, yes. We host that opportunity just to help women-owned businesses to understand what it takes to get certified, to specifically get opportunities relative to large corporations as well as local, state, and federal governments.
Well, you certainly are a big cheerleader for NKU, and I'm really glad that you could be our guest today and share that valuable information. Thank you for all you do. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is President Jeffrey Mearns. Jeffrey is the president of Northern Kentucky University, and you personally have been here as the president for a little over a year. What's been the most surprising thing about NKU?
Well, I would say two things. One is it's clear to me that there's a great deal of pride in the university, both on campus and throughout the region. People who are associated with the university, either directly or indirectly, are very proud of the things that we've accomplished here at the university, and they're very optimistic. That's the second thing. They're very optimistic about the future of the institution. We all know that there are a lot of changes, a lot of challenges to higher education, but people on campus and people in this region are optimistic that our institution is up to the challenge.
Well, how are you planning for some of the changes that will no doubt be taking place?
For the past several months, we've embarked on a strategic planning process, which has been very inclusive. We've had 10 open forums on campus, and we actually had 20 separate community forums with business leaders, elected officials, school superintendents. So we set out to gather as much information, as much input from across the region as we could. And we're now at the part of the process where the committee is meeting to finalize the strategic plan, and we'll be presenting our proposal to the Board of Regents on November 13th.
So is there anything that you can share in terms of where some of your focus points were?
Well, I think first and foremost, we start with our commitment to the success of our students. And by success of our students, we not only mean their timely graduation from the institution, but that we're preparing them for a very dynamic world. So we're focused not simply on getting them their first job, but preparing for a meaningful career and a rewarding and fulfilling life. So that is our first goal, and that is the paramount goal of the plan. There then are a variety of other elements that I think are of interest. One is we are proud to be a relatively young institution that's nimble and is innovative. So you're going to see in our strategic plan a focus on academic innovation, which includes everything from incorporating technology into the classroom and providing hands-on, real-world experiential learning opportunities for our students, both on campus through undergraduate research and other projects, as well as out in the community in co-ops and internships.
Some of the wonderful thing that's gone on here at this campus during the time we've been doing this segment is phenomenal. The informatics program that you have, the success of that program, and the job placement, and the way you've really engage the entire business community and others in the region to help the success of these students is just inspiring.
Right. And informatics is a perfect example of what we want to do going forward. It is a way in which it's an interdisciplinary program. We brought together disciplines from different colleges, united them in a single unified college, but they provide broad experiences for students to prepare them for the 21st century. And so that is an example of the kind of innovation, transdisciplinary programming that you'll see continuing to permeate throughout our programs.
You've actually opened a center called the Student Success Center. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, I inherited a great plan from my predecessor, Jim Vitruba, who did a wonderful job here for 15 years. One of the ideas that I inherited from him was the renovation of the University Center, which had previously been the Student Union on campus. And so we spent about $6 million renovating an existing building to essentially bring together the various student support services and activities which had been previously spread all across campus, to bring them together into one location so that a student knows that whatever kind of service or whatever kind of question they have, they can come into that facility and they're going to be able to get an answer to that question.
If folks listening today would like to learn more about Northern Kentucky University and some of the initiatives and just the school in general,
they go to nku.edu, to our website, which is filled with a lot of information. And if they're interested in learning about the strategic plan, there's a link on our website to the planning process.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Jeffrey Mearns. Jeff is the president of Northern Kentucky University. And one of the things that you have been very busy doing recently is developing a new strategic plan. I know that one of the things that NKU does, in my mind, better than many universities I've ever been involved with or associated with, is that you're able to engage the community. You really have developed a partnership with businesses and various other organizations in the region to really help our region grow.
And if you think, you know, we're a relatively young institution, it was founded because the people in this community recognized the need for an institution like NKU. From our inception, it was an institution that was designed to be responsive to the community, that would establish partnerships throughout the community so that we are serving the needs of that community.
Well, and it's hopefully mutually beneficial, right? I mean, you're serving their needs, and hopefully they're helping serve some of your needs. They provide you some talent and resources as well.
That's right. And we see it as a partnership. And as a partnership, there are mutual responsibilities and then, of course, mutual benefits. We certainly benefit from the support of the community, and we believe the community benefits by what we do here on campus. But for us to continue to do what we're doing, and in fact, for us to continue to excel, we need to continue to maintain and obtain the support of the community and all of the members of this community.
So someone listening today who may not be as engaged as they could, how should they approach the university to see if there's some way that they can also be a partner with NKU?
Well, there are a variety of ways, and I'd begin right at the outset, which is we are now an institution that is the first choice for the most talented students that are coming out of high school in this area. And so one of the first ways you can get engaged is identify NKU as a place for the best and brightest of the high school students in the area. The other way is we have the Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement, and there are a variety of opportunities for institutions that have needs for either student interns or a variety of other support to engage with the university through the Scripps Howard Center.
Just from a competitive standpoint, if we want to continue to attract the best and the brightest individuals to work here in our companies, is that we have to attract best and brightest businesses, right? Really good businesses who can grow and offer those kinds of career paths that
these young folks want to be able to participate in.
That's correct. I mean, if you think about what businesses need or what the civic community needs, they need talent. And universities are a place that attracts talent and develops talent. And so there clearly is a benefit that we provide, and we value that relationship.
Another issue that I know that's very important to the university and to you is funding. How and what is the university's top funding priority?
Well, going forward, the next big idea after our College of Informatics is to create a Center for Health Innovations. This is going to be an interdisciplinary center where we'll bring together disciplines that are presently in different areas of the campus or disciplines, programs that we don't presently offer that can focus on improving the health of the community population. It will be designed to help consumers, health consumers, make better choices, and also to provide opportunities for healthcare professionals to learn how to work together as a team in order to improve health outcomes. So we think it's going to be a center that will drive down the cost of healthcare but improve health outcomes. And what we want is we want the input from the healthcare community into the types of programs that we should have, into the curriculum and the design of those particular programs. We would also like them to help us think about how to design the building, not just the curriculum, but also design the building. And we would also welcome their financial support so that we can be able to build this facility. It's going to be a great resource for the community, and we're going to get it done in the next 2 to 4 years.
And again, if someone listening today would be interested in learning more about that initiative as well as about Northern Kentucky University in general,
I would encourage them to go to our website, which is nku.edu, and there it's a pretty easily to navigate website.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lori Wellinghoff. Lori is the president of Diggs Real Estate Design and Construction. She's also affiliated with Comey & Shepard. And Lori, real estate seems to be on the upswing. I'm seeing lots of sold signs all over the place. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing sold before sent, which is industry lingo for houses selling before they ever hit the market. What we're seeing sort of inside the Beltway and even outside the Beltway to a large measure is that we are under inventoried. The buyer demand exceeds the supply. It's a good thing if you're a seller, and it's not a bad thing if you're a buyer either. Typically, under inventoried would lead you to believe that the buyer is held hostage by the lack of choice. And while a buyer does need to be ready to buy, they should not be daunted by the fact that the sellers now hold all of the cards. They do not. The economy did adjust, as we all recall all too well. And while prices have not resumed to the pre-recession highs, they have gone up significantly, in some neighborhoods upwards of 30%, but that is still off of a pretty low. So buyers are still in the catbird seat in terms of it being adjusted pricing, and interest rates are still phenomenal. And I will date myself by letting you know that my first house was purchased with a 14% mortgage. And now 4% is still the norm for a qualified buyer. So prices are right, interest rates are right, but inventories are scarce.
If you are a buyer right now or want to be a buyer, what should you do to prepare so that if you find the house you're looking for, you can make a quick offer?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I find frustrating is that the internet has made a lot of people think that they don't need professionals anymore and that they're smart as whips and they see everything we see. I am happy for my profession to inform those people that they are incorrect and that, in fact, if you want the best property for you, you need a couple of things. One, you need to be ready because there isn't a lot to choose from. Two, ready means have your pre-qualification letter or proof of funds, be prepared to write an offer, be prepared to be well guided by a real estate agent on what will get you the house but will not leave money on the table. But most importantly, align yourself with a real estate agent. If you know what part of town or what parts of town you want to live in, it's fairly easy using the internet or using your eyes relative to real estate signs to find the preeminent purveyors of real estate agents in those markets. So when you work with a professional, you can lay these things out in terms that are very attractive to the seller, which to your point is that it's not always about the price. You need somebody who can dig deep and find out what are the important points to the seller. For example, a seller may want to live in the house longer. That may be a really important issue that's more important than money. Back to the whole buyers thinking they know everything from the World Wide Web, I always say, you know, if you've got a pain in your side, are you going to go on the internet and figure it out, or are you going to go see a doctor? What I also think is important is real estate agents often know houses that are available for sale but that are not on the market yet. That's that whole sold before sent vernacular, which means in the areas where I specialize and all productive agents, we know what's coming. We talk to our fellow agents. We are constantly scanning and in touch with and networking the market. And oftentimes I can point you to the best house at the best price before the rest of the world knows it.
So if people listening today would like more information, would like to talk to you, get in touch with you, Lori, what is your contact information?
By email at Lori, L-O-R-I, at digs-home.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lori Wellinghoff. Lori is the president of Diggs Real Estate Design and Construction, and also a real estate agent with Comey and Shepherd. And you seem to have positioned yourself somewhat uniquely in this marketplace because you're not only a real estate agent and you represent buyers and sellers of homes, but through Diggs, you actually help people, you know, refurbish, renovate, redesign their homes. What led you into this sort of unique business model?
It was sort of birthed from a pain point of mine personally, which was when you take the real estate process, the construction process, architecture, design, decorating, you become the hub in that wheel. And there's often finger pointing amongst those big silos where, you know, the architect says, hey, not my problem, it was the contractor. And decorator says, not my problem, it was the architect. And real estate agent says, well, I know I told you a new kitchen would be $10,000 when you bought this house. I'm sorry, it was $100,000. I just didn't know. And so what we saw was people were becoming increasingly time starved. We have over-programmed lives. We travel. We have soccer games until, you know, we can cheer no more. And I wanted to create a place where people could come for everything in one place or anything in one place. So people use us a la carte or in any combination. But a perfect example is when someone with little skill, little time, and little interest wants to start looking for a home. They have a finite budget. Let's just say it's $500,000. And they say, that's the maximum I want to spend. And we go through a list of must-haves and nice-to-haves, trying to get as far into the nice-to-haves as possible. Often, we'll look at a home that might be listed for $300,000, but it needs a new kitchen, a new bathroom. It needs some things that are on that must-have list. What's nice about shopping with our firm is that we can help you design and price on the fly everything you need to make that house a home. And so you can consider it in the set of all the homes you've seen, some of which are at your budget, some of which may be far below, but better suited to you.
I think what you said right out the gate about the fact that the way you came up with your business model is because it was a point of pain to you personally.
Right. Well, my biggest pain point was a footer for a foundation at my house poured about 20 feet in the wrong direction. But I was out of town traveling for business. So putting that aside, it was birthed from pain, but it was inspired by trends. So big boxes of services and of goods exist everywhere. You go to Time Warner Cable for your telephone, your internet, your television.
Sure.
You go to Target for everything from a potato to, you know, your prom
shoes.
Dress.
Exactly.
Right. And so the thought that people could throw out their Rolodex, for those of you who still know what a Rolodex is, and have a single source for everything having to do with happy homemaking, it seemed like over a time continuum, we would be a go-to resource in all things.
When you mentioned trends, and one of the trends that your organization's recently developed is this whole idea of multilingual. You've brought on a specialist. Maybe you can talk about that a bit.
Well, we're following the trends that are being set by the Chamber of Commerce here in Cincinnati, which is telling us that by 2020, they wish to have 200,000 new employees in Cincinnati beyond our current base. And that, in fact, they also are angling to ensure that our population becomes more diverse because we're in a global economy and we can't all speak the same language and think the same thoughts.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.